Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to say that we have an amazing, great God. It's just unreal to see what the Spirit is doing within the church. I just want to say that none of the speakers know beforehand what each other will preach about. And I can say that the Spirit is leading this church to the example of Solomon. And I just want to build off of my brother Eric's fantastic sermon he did last week and previous, and work off that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work off Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. That will be our sermon text today. It reads, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." So the book of Ecclesiastes is one of three books contained in the Bible written by King Solomon. The other two are Psalms and the other two are Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes means preacher. And this sermon, this book, I should say, is considered to be Solomon's written sermon. And what it does is, King Solomon, he shares his experience of life looking for happiness or meaning through the means of the world. And the question is, why? You know, Solomon had all the money, he had power, he had fame, he had wisdom, he was the king. But yet, none of those things would satisfy his soul. Later on in life, Solomon, he considered it all vanity. The quality of being worthless, futile, and meaningless. Because it was all apart from God. So this morning's, what we're going to do this morning is, this part of the chapter we're going to cover today, and it's based on Solomon's pursuit of happiness or meaning through various forms of human wisdom. And unlike before where I would just read through the whole scripture, we're going to go through each verse in an analytical way. So I want to start off reading verses 12 and 13. It reads, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven." Now bear in mind, Solomon was blessed with wisdom and understanding beyond any man at that time. But he still had his heart set on continuing to see what the world has to offer. Like so many today that seek and will pay large sums of money to find out how to gain peace or how to find happiness or how to find wealth, prosperity. And in the end, it's like a wasted effort. So let's continue reading what Solomon states. He says, "This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised." So this was weary. It was a burden. This was not a joyful experience for Solomon. And nor was it a beneficial one. Again, it was a wasted effort because it was apart from God. That would be like taking this congregation out on a field trip around the world to experience worship of false gods. It wouldn't be pleasing, considering if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your children of the one true God, Jesus Christ. So there is no need to look elsewhere. None at all. But that's what Solomon did. Deuteronomy 6:14, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you." You know, there are many people who don't identify themselves with a particular faith. but consider themselves as spiritual. They're searching for a divine revelation, authoritative revelation. But they get their wisdom from famous quotes of people instead. That's their wisdom. That's so good. Yet, excuse me. Solomon, who knew the Lord, he fell away. And that's a sad thing. So what I want to do is I want to go over Solomon's conclusion, or the results of his experiences seeking meaning through human wisdom. And it is explained in the concluding verses of this chapter. Verse 14 reads, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind." So the works that this worldly wisdom and philosophy produce, it's futile. It's disappointing. And it fades away. Let me backtrack a few verses. Solomon states in 8 through 11, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after." So again, there's nothing new under the sun. The heart of man is just never satisfied. We're always trying to search for some new idea, some new way, but nothing new really ever shows up. Searching for meaning through what the world has to offer is compared to a circle of life. And Solomon used nature to expound upon this point. Verses 5 and 6 reads, "The sun also rises and goes down, then hastens to the place it rose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit." So everything goes full circle, kind of like when we like things new, and then we go back to the vintage, and then new, then vintage. It's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. But the heart apart from God, searching for wisdom, it's never satisfied. Jesus said, "From within out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." Solomon said, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" Worldly wisdom combined with worldly labor, it's meaningless apart from God. Haggai 1:6 reads, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to be put into a bag with holes." So the human works that are applied to this wisdom of finding meaning is vain apart from God. They have no eternal value. What about those religious practices that are involved in trying to keep the holy law? We find that human works are meaningless and never good enough. It reminds me of the labor force when an employee is trying to do his best, But the boss continues to make him feel like their effort was not good enough. The standard keeps getting raised. Religions based on works, they don't go anywhere either. You see, God's standard of righteousness could never be attained by any one of us. But friends, we can praise God that Jesus did all the work for us, that He did all the heavy lifting, and that His work was satisfied by the Father. Galatians 2:16 reads, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For by the law, no flesh shall be justified." None. Now, Jesus, He warns us about worldliness and its allurements. Because if something is very satisfying to the flesh, satisfying to the ears, the eyes, we tend to put that on a pedestal. Whatever it is, we make whoever or whatever king in our lives. For example, the people that Jesus provided the bread and fish for, they wanted to force Jesus to be their earthly king for the wrong reasons. Because He met their physical needs. You see this happen when people fall into the trap of the prosperity gospel teachings. And they make Jesus God over their lives for the wrong reasons. Thinking that they will receive material things and be rich and good health and live their best life now. That's not so. Far from it. Jesus told those people who wanted to force Him to be their earthly king. It's in John 6:26 through 29. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." And then they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered them and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." And I could see Him just saying it in that kind of fashion too. Just get it through their heads. This is the work of God. Believe in Him who He sent. You know, in street evangelism, I always state the reason why I'm going to heaven when I die. Because of my faith in Jesus' perfect work and not my flawed life, not my flawed work. And furthermore, the faith that I do have, it's a gift from God. It's His doing, not my doing. The meaning that we as Christians have in life is to serve and worship God. Honor God with our lives. The second conclusion of Solomon's experience is found in verse 15. He said, "What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered." So, again, the wisdom that one seeks apart from God is futile. Through Solomon's experience, he's stating that the worldly wisdom for meaning, it's so vast that it can't be numbered. There's so many ways that people come up with a meaning for the afterlife. It's crazy, or what to do to gain eternal life. It's unbelievable. So it's vast and it can't be fixed. Man's way, it's not God's way. And we see that the world continually gets worse morally and socially in so many other ways. And so many are not only turning their back on God, but turning against Him. You know, the devil has people deceived. And it's sad. Worldly wisdom points away from God and to self. Look what I did, instead of look what He did. John 14:6 reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus laid it out nice and simple for all to understand. Yet people continue to look elsewhere. Let us remain grounded in the firm foundation found in Christ, brothers and sisters. Motivational speakers can be good and tickle your ears. Meditations may be calming. But the Bible teaches us to avoid worldly wisdom because it can't make anyone righteous. Only Jesus can. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. I heard a nice acronym for the Bible, which can be applied as basic instruction before leaving earth. The wisdom from within is eternal. Charles Spurgeon stated, you may think you can live fine without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without Him. The third result of Solomon's experience is found in verses 16 and 17. He reads, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than those who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know how madness and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also grasping for the wind. So Solomon stated, I have attained all this wisdom and knowledge and understanding of human wisdom, and it's meaningless. Now, the common perception of the world for viewing people as wise is the person who seems to have it all, who has the big bank account, the master's degrees, the great physique. They're perceived as wise, and people admire them and seek their knowledge, try to learn their secrets. And how many of us are guilty of this? I know I am. But just think of how many people and celebrities just who seem to have it all, throw it all away. Who take God's blessings and throw them away because they're never satisfied in here. Colossians 2:23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now, of course, having these types of blessings in our lives is great. Don't get me wrong. However, these things have no eternal value. When you die, that great body turns to dust. The money and the degrees don't come with you. None of those perceived forms of wisdom can't and won't transfer into a righteousness that can only come from Jesus. Now, Jesus is known by many names and adjectives throughout the Bible. For example, in Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Jesus is referred to as our wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, happy is a man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding. Happy is the person who finds Christ. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Don't you just feel that joy within? Because of Jesus. The last result of Solomon's experience is our sermon text. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So worldly wisdom can bring pain and sorrow. For with the wisdom of the world, there is no guarantees. You can lose it all at any time. Especially today with cybersecurity hacking your bank accounts. That could get wiped out. Businesses shut down. You could lose your job. Even people with the best looking bodies can die just like that. So again, worldly wisdom has no guarantees. Solomon said, he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. However, with Jesus, wisdom is precious. Wisdom is truth. And wisdom is eternal. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So without Christ, all the wisdom in the world is vanity. It took Solomon all his life to come to these conclusions. Friends, I hope that the true source of your wisdom that you seek comes from this book and no other. Not what the world offers, but from this book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your comfort. Thank you, Father, for your guidance. Father, we know that this world is against you. That there are many people who are perceived to be wise. Many voices in the world that will draw people away from you instead of towards you. Father, I am thankful, Father, for the unveiling of your Son, for your word, for the voice of truth, Father, that has come into our lives. Thankful, Father, for the Holy Spirit, for His guidance, for the guidance you give us. Help us, Father, to stand firm in your word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Fight off this perceived wisdom of the world that would suck us away from you, that would take us away. Thank you, Father, for not letting go of us, Father. Keeping us grounded on the foundation of your Son and your Word. Thank you, Father, for what your Word does in our lives and cuts through our hearts and convicts us of any wrongdoing, wrong thinking, and helps us, Father, defending against what this world perceives as wisdom. None of this is possible without your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for breaking down the wall of separation through your Son and His shed blood. All this I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.